Let's face it, size matters.
Truly epic proportions.
Especially when it comes to your financial talk.
I have a plan.
Quick sound bites and rush chatter won't help you.
Blah, 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 blah.
You want more details, more depth.
Concentrate, focus power.
More to think about.
What do you think?
This is Money Life's Big Interview.
I think it's brilliant.
A meaningful conversation on money and markets.
This is why we're here.
So settle in.
I made you coffee.
You're going to be here a while.
It's big interview time here on Money Life, and today we are talking with Kim Curtis. She is the author of Money Secrets, Keys to Smart Investing. It's a new book. Now, if you listen to the show, you know I sort of hate anything that says, hey, we're going to talk about secrets, because I don't believe that most of the stuff is secret. But you're going to find out that the reason that I wanted to have Kim on the book is that aside from that issue about, I don't think it's a secret, I just think people don't do it and don't recognize it. Well, there's really good stuff that if you are, you know, looking to get somebody squared up as they get into the holidays, you've got kids that you really hope will understand some of the basics, this book can help. If you want more information, wealthlegacyinstitute.com. You can find them on Twitter at WLI Legacy. Kim is on Twitter at Kim Curtis Legacy. And by the way, if you want more information about her, KimCurtisSpeaker.com. Kim Curtis, welcome to Money Life.
Thank you.
You just heard me say it. I hate secrets because I just don't believe there are secrets. I think this stuff is out there. It's covered. I've been covering it for 30 years. I just think people sort of don't ignore it or don't believe it. Now, that said, there is a lot of stuff out there that, like, people could fix their lives if they just kind of woke up and realized that, yeah, that's the reality, right?
Absolutely. I think when it comes to money, we feel financial inertia often. But I wanted to write Money Secrets because after the financial meltdown and the recession, I was exposed to so many investors who are damaged either by bad advice from another advisor or bad behavior by themselves, and realized that for you and me, this information is out there, but to the average investor, it's not. It's not to the extent that intellectually we may understand it, but emotionally, do we really follow through and make a difference? And that's where that inertia comes in, and where I felt compelled that this book needed to be written.
That said, the things that you consider most important that people overlook, like I said, I don't consider them to be secrets, but what would you tell folks? You know, look, you got to come to an understanding that here are the things that maybe you don't recognize that they're governing your money behaviors and your money life, but you need to know them.
Well, I think the very most basic, the questions that most investors ask is, how much is enough? And so, you know, do I have enough? Will I have enough? What is enough? And unfortunately, many financial advisors do not answer that question for their clients. And so if that's the case and you don't know the answer, whether you have enough, then you need to fire your advisor. And that may even be you, the investor, firing yourself.
The question of how much is enough, you know, there maybe is one of Wall Street's dirty little secrets. Because what winds up happening is that most advisors use a formula that says, hey, you're going to, you know, try to live off of 4% of your nest egg. You know, you're going to try to make it that you don't swallow your nest egg, which is great advice. But the truth is, it creates numbers that are daunting and that a lot of people feel they will never achieve. So no matter how close they come, they kind of feel that they, you know, have never done well enough and they maybe don't spend their money. The idea is not, you know, the reason that the financial services community loves that, and this maybe is the secret, is that, hey, if you can live off of 4%, you're going to have this big legacy, and we're going to get to manage that too for, you know, perpetuity. It's going to pass to your heirs, and we get to manage that. And lucky us, we make our money managing money. But the truth is that as you set your amount for the rest of your life, what you're really trying to do is come up between that point that goes, yep, I can meet perfect, or at least I will not die destitute. Like, it's okay to run out of money the day after you die, right?
Everyone's dream, sliding into home plate, all used up with their last dime.
So how do you help somebody do that? How do you help somebody come up with what the right number is. Because like I said, the numbers that the industry gives out, well, they're great numbers if you can achieve them, but so many people feel they can't.
Right, and that really gets back to what is it, whether it's legacy, passing money to the next generation, or is it, on the other end, having your basic essentials met? And if it's beyond your basic essentials, then it's, you know, more lifestyle, doing the things that you love when you want at any time. And so it gets back. So if you had a pyramid and you looked at, okay, our basic essentials are covered, now our lifestyle is covered where we can golf and do all the things that are important to us or spend time with grandchildren, then it gets back to independence and freedom and lastly legacy. Many people are not shooting for legacy. They're really shooting for in between lifestyle and freedom and don't realize how close they really may be to achieving that objective. So I think in terms of money secrets, the nature of what investors expect from their financial advisor really needs to change, because really to provide impactful advice, it needs to be through financial planning and also behavioral coaching and guidance rather than trying to outperform the market.
How much do you believe that the role of the financial advisor, the financial planner here, is to provide the financial nuts and bolts? And how much of the role of the financial planner is to give the client emotional discipline to stick with whatever plan they come up with?
Well, I think the value of the advice of an advisor is most realized by the latter. It's really that behavioral coaching that when you're the periods of market duress or euphoria when an investor is tempted to abandon their well-thought-out investment plan or add money to something that's overpriced is where the financial advisor creates the most value. Huge value in that time. I don't know if you have seen the statistic that after the Great Recession, 69% of U.S. investors had capitulated at the bottom of the market. 69% sold. And then 2 years later, 30% of those who sold were still in cash, scared to death about what to do next with their money. So whatever they had financially, more than likely they were almost at half when they capitulated. And how do you begin to get back or start or feel the trust that you need to move forward for your ultimate financial independence? So that statistic really concerned me greatly as it relates to work that we do as financial professionals and advisors. How do we show up? How do we get our clients to the other side that they have peace of mind and freedom, which sounds cliche but is real, and the trust that is needed to be the trust that needs to exist to allow for that behavioral coaching when they feel absolutely not present or scared to death that they listen to you. And market, you know, sit in your meeting and your advisor telling you how well your investment is doing. If you don't have a plan that focuses on something else, then you really are destined for failure. Because if your financial advisor is only reviewing how your rate of return compares to a benchmark, it's not enough. Yeah. And it's almost a commodity.
Well, exactly. And, you know, the scary thing is that everybody sort of says, I'm hiring a financial advisor for all of the reasons, you know, all of the right things, but then they wind up firing that advisor because, well, we had a stretch of bad performance, and that's the wrong thing to do as well.
And it's interesting that you say that, because that's another thing that financial advisors, I think, one of the money secrets is that they think that's what their job is to do, and they create this investment portfolio that is complex. And complexity is not necessarily sophisticated. It's just complex. And what happens is when you have complexity is that when an advisor doesn't understand it and the markets are not working in their favor, that it's so easy to abandon instead of having simple, because simple is strength, not a weakness, and it allows the client to really stay engaged because they understand what's going on and less likely to be afraid by not understanding some high yield bond that all of a sudden operates like a stock in a down market.
From your perspective, therefore, how important is it that maybe the real secret here is that there's no one right way? I mean, we say it on the show all the time. You're going to get inundated with different approaches and opinions because I'm sort of agnostic. Whatever you're going to find that works, go ahead and do it. But you know, so much in the investment world, we hear people say, you know, do it this way. This is what works. This is what's best. Or maybe they're showing numbers that say, look at how great my returns are. And you should do this because you'll get that kind of return. But how important is it that folks understand, you know what, there's just not one right way here?
Well, the right way is the one that keeps the client's seat on the roller coaster at the end of the ride, that anchor the expectations and to help keep clients invested when headlines and emotions tempt them to abandon their investment plan. And the other, actually bigger secret of all of this, and I know you've used this word, Chuck, is the F word. We haven't talked about the F word, the F word standing for fiduciary. I think that's really the starting point in all of this, to the extent of making sure that your advisor has your best interest as an investor at all times and all transactions, 24/7. And less than 10% actually have that standard of care.
Yeah, the fiduciary standard, which we're hoping will be applied to everybody at some point in the future. Well, right now, Congress is trying to make sure that it applies to only the folks that are willing to submit themselves to it and is trying to protect the interests of the industry. So as much as we want a fiduciary standard, one doesn't exist. But if you do deal with an advisor, they should have to tell you, and they should tell you whether or not they're adhering to the fiduciary standard. Kim, this has been great. I wish we had more time, but we don't. So folks are just going to have to check out the book. Thanks so much for joining me on Money Life.
Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it.
Kim Curtis is the author of Money Secrets, Keys to Smart Investing. If you want more information on the book, well, you can get information on the book or about Kim's practice. It's wealthlegacyinstitute.com. If you want more information on Kim, kimcurtisspeaker.com. She's on Twitter at Kim Curtis Legacy. The firm is WLI Legacy on Twitter. All right, we just hit the halfway pole on today's edition of Money Life, but halfway means that there's at least half to go. So settle back and relax. We're just picking up speed. We'll be back in just a minute with more Money Life.